All Flex No Dex is an adult podcast. If you compared us to movie ratings, we'd be rated R. See episode notes for details.
Hey guys, you're being recorded.
Oh God. No.
The government knows.
Government's already known.
So, hello and welcome back to All Flex No Dex, but tonight is a little bit different. Tonight we're doing a behind the scenes, around the campfire, during long rest, short rest, jazz kind of thing. We're going to ask and answer questions, both from inner party, if we have any for each other, and from listeners and friends who had questions about our shenanigans. And you know, after we do a little AMA, we will be discussing various things to fix, like the last episode and the episode before that, I given out a whole bunch of spells. Fucked that all up because I gave you the wrong level of spells that I intended. And so I got to retcon that. And then, you know, the spell book that I found on or made on 5e Magic Shop has expired. So I had to make a new one. All that jazz. We'll be covering all that, going over experience points, making sure everyone's good to go. Behind the scenes, off table, whatever you want to call it. That's what we're doing today. Today we have with us Nicole.
Hey everybody, it's Nicole. Later on, I'll be playing Dinsby, but right now I'm just me.
We have Zach.
Hey everybody, I'm Zach. I'm the one that plays Dandy Lion, but today I'm just going to be me.
And we have Jasper.
Hi, I'm Jasper. I'll be playing me. Zenazari's taking a nap, and I'm going to have some spicy soup while we fix this bullshit.
Perfect. Okay.
Yay.
There's no real format with this, guys. We're just bullshit, and I don't have actually anything written up besides the questions. So unless you guys have anything to bring up or talk about immediately, I was going to get right into the questions and answers. One of our listeners, one of our, you know, few at this point, he's been listening to all of the episodes. Adamant fan is one of Kiowa's boys, Zach, aka Mothog. He sent in a couple of questions for us, and we'll start with his question, which is question one for Dandy. He says, Dandy, what is the reason you're traveling to spread your name instead of posting up at a fancy tavern or something? Why risk your very precious and lovely life for fame through adventure and not bardhood?
Well, Dandy went ahead and started off as a in the tavern bard that everybody loved. But one day he actually got a letter from his best fan and it touched him like deep in his soul. And so he decided that he can't just make this stuff up anymore. He's got to bring the best experience possible. So now he's out there looking for the best story for his number one fan.
And so doing, Dandy realized that the world's a dangerous place.
It is, and he has not conveyed that enough in his stories, so.
Also, I want to point out, too, because of how my world's structured in the valley, you were, you know, in a tavern and all that doing that. Taverns exist, but the thing is, the humans that are in the valley have established sort of mobile towns, and you guys know how Tim had that long rod that turned into a door when he pulled it up?
Mm-hmm.
That's a common place for traveling clans with the humans. When they stop for the night, they'll drop all their doors and pull it up, and there's basically just like a door town for a night.
Neat.
I didn't explain that in the episode. I should have. That was my headcanon for it, and it didn't even occur to me to bring that up. The humans in the valley found a workaround for dragons constantly attacking them and raiding their villages. Question two. This is for the Pokemon Masters and Azeri.
Ooh.
What is your BBG to capture as part of your menagerie? What's the one creature you're searching or looking for to be capturing?
Great question.
I feel like Zenazeri doesn't even know at this point.
No, I don't think so either.
Kind of just fell into this.
Yeah. Started collecting stuff.
because your horde's only just starting out. Because you said before that your horde was quote unquote children.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're taking on that dragon aspect as the personality quirk. And so you're kind of just like just starting the horde. So really anything at this point, just to get the horde assembled. And then like once you have a flock of random things following you, then you'll be like, you know what this needs? A Hydra goose. That's what this needs.
Either that or like a giant tortoise so we can all stay together and not have to travel alone on the ground. It's dangerous on the ground.
Are you talking about a giant tortoise? Like
you could build a city on? Yes, I am. Don't know if those exist, but something like that.
Yeah, no, they exist.
Well, there we go. Actually, keep my horde safe and moving, since staying in one spot's not the safest.
I know sea turtles exist. I don't know if land ones do officially in like 5e rules. I would totally make one if there wasn't.
That is my BBG, is to make a home on a land tortoise.
What's a
tortoise, not a turtle. Turtles are for water.
What's that land turtle that's a Pokemon? The Tortilla or something? Or something?
No. Torterra.
Yeah, Torterra.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm gonna make a big ass Torterra for you.
Yes!
You're gonna have to be much higher level though. You need to survive a little bit before I give you that.
Well, yeah, of course. I figure I'm not gonna get it for quite some time.
Make them work for it. Start off with an egg, go to Turtwig.
No. You're gonna have to pull like that one video game. I can't remember. It was really popular, but it was like in the Shadow of Colossus. That one where you have to climb all the monsters to the very top. That's what Zenizer is going to have to do. You're going to have to scale this.
Am I going to have to continue to capture monsters that are bigger and bigger?
Oh, if you want.
Or do I literally have to scale on top of monsters?
No, I'm talking about just this.
Or Torterra.
Just the Torterra. When we get to that and you see one climbing around, you want to take it, you're going to have to get to it. Like up to its gnome dome.
All right. That was great.
Miss plus 25 to acrobatics.
With
the boots up front and stunting.
Yeah, just be front and stunting in front of its face.
It will love my breakdancing moves.
I'm sure it will. Or be terrified. Since front and strutting is an intimidation. Intimidated with the breakdance.
It will learn to love me.
One way or another.
Yeah, something big that I can put my horde on would be great.
So instead of like your horde cave, it's you want it mobile.
Yeah. Because then I can keep collecting things. And right. I know all my stuff is safe because it's with me.
Yeah, I already know what the ending is for Zenizer if she survives all this. You're going to legitimately turn into a dragon one day.
Yes. That's the goal. I do everything I can to survive.
So then moving on, question three is for me. DM Daddy, what's your favorite part of the campaign so far and why? And that one's kind of hard for me. I would say it'd be two-step. My favorite so far is Flazenzo, which was a name that was given and the description for him being a berserker, Flazenzo the One Shoe, his whole backstory with the One Shoe was given to us when we started this from some random person that never talked to me again. I have their name somewhere, but I don't have it offhand. But voicing Flazenzo and playing him was a lot of fun. I look forward to bringing Flazenzo back into the story eventually. And then the other part that I've been having fun with was obviously the wild magic. The bag of safe places and the duck of many things and the grenade of many things. I love some chaos magic. I love seeing my players react to unexpected circumstances. Not always the best circumstances. Sometimes you guys get attacked by 13 owlbears.
What? Who did that?
Don't know whose fault that was.
I don't know, but you know, we lived and there was pudding. It was like a wild Friday night, apparently.
A horse got its name.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I like I like a lot of this. I was just thinking, I also like Tall Hat too. That whole bit with Tall Hat was a lot of fun. Especially since I rewrote that song by Todrick Hall. Moving on, one of our new buddies in our Discord, I've been doing a text game with pirates. Robbie from Stories and Sorceries podcast has been playing that with me on our Discord. He has sent in a couple of questions too. And so his first question was for me, and it said, how did you get that good at doing goblin voices? The answer is practicing constantly. That sounds mundane, but I want you to understand that I've been literally practicing constantly. I yell at my brother in goblin voices, and he yells at me in various voices as well. And there was also a very long stretch, about 8 years, where I was working with Walmart Distribution Center, where I was left alone in a hole, basically, for 10 hours a day. And so I would just practice my voices while I worked the entire time. And so the warehouse was so loud that nobody could hear me while I was in there. So I'd be in there shouting like, my precious, and various other voices. So yeah, I practiced. And I also drove almost 2 hours every day to get to and from work. I had a lot of alone time. So in that time, I made various voices and practiced them. But goblin voices were always fun to do. I replied in Twitter too. He brought it up again. I was saying how I was also practicing the Goblin Slayer voice, at least the abridged version, a lot. So there's kind of like the polar opposites within me, the goblin and the anti-goblin. But you know, practice. It's not innate. It's a lot of doing goblin voices at inappropriate times. Zach does pretty good goblin voices too. He hasn't had a chance to flex them.
Well, when Dandy gets turned into a goblin one day, everybody will get to hear it.
I did like Thomas. Thomas and Agate. I liked Agate. The next question is a question for everybody. And this is from Robbie as well. What is your favorite character you have ever played, both on the podcast and off?
Oh, goodness. I'll go first on this one. My favorite character was Bartholomew Solonar III. And he was a bard. This is Homebrew 2nd edition. And eventually he got to the point where he got an ability where he could switch genders at will. And every time he switched genders, he got to temporarily add 1d4 to his charisma. And I really enjoyed being able to use that charisma bump for whatever situation I needed to. If I needed to be female, female. If I needed to be male, male. Yep. So I was, that was a pretty fun one. He ended up becoming an avatar of one of the moon goddesses. I can't remember which one.
I did play with Bartholomew a little bit too during our friend's one shot, that kind of a battle royale thing. I got to see Bartholomew role play a little bit in that too. That's when I was playing my half giant Kensei.
Oh, okay.
But that was very minor. You actively stayed out of combat and were just trying to verbally win fights.
Which that character can.
Yeah, definitely. I'll go next. So I have a top three. So, because of course, my very first character I ever made, I named after the Klingon on Star Trek, Worf. I was 10, I think, maybe younger. And so I needed help finding a last name. And one of my uncles named him Worf Iron Nad III. And long story short, we played that for years, a good 10 years before he finally retired and got the Axe of the Dwarven Lords via Wish and all that kind of stuff. The next favorite character I've played through every edition now, short of 4th. fourth and first, actually. Dan hasn't done first. But Dan Oakley, the Halfling, was originally a neutral evil thief. This is also back when I was a kid. I started trying to play Thieves in second edition. And I was trying out the whole neutral evil aspect. My dad was the DM and he allowed it. As a DM myself, I wouldn't allow that. I've gone down the rabbit holes of letting my players play evil characters and nobody likes it. They all get pissed at each other. Everyone should have been pissed at me and my dad, but they allowed it to happen because I was a kid. And then the later editions, Dan got to a more neutral good, kind of chaotic good. I ended up using him. When I started fifth edition, I used him in a Ravenloft campaign I was running. I used Dan as an NPC that was trapped in Ravenloft. So he's probably one of my favorites. Recently, I started playing with another D&D game that is streamed by Azeloth on Twitch. And I made my first ever paladin after 25 some odd years of playing D&D. This is the first time I've ever played a paladin and is named Aurelio. And I've been having a lot of fun with him because, for one, paladins are just dope. And for two, he's gay. And so the last time we played, I was hitting on an NPC. And Azeloth's reaction, I don't think he remembered that I was gay, because the NPC female elf thought that I was flirting with her, and I wasn't. I was flirting with her companion, which is a half elf. And so that was a fun interaction of Azeloth playing a flustered half elf that we were trying to compete for his interest. So that was a lot of fun.
And should we rep? Where can people find Azeloth's game?
You know, the direct links I don't have on hand. Azeloth, if you find him on Twitch, it's GM Azeloth, GM underscore Azeloth on Twitter. On Twitch, he goes by Azeloth, and same on YouTube. If you just Google it or just search in their engine bars, you'll find Azeloth.
How do our listeners spell that?
You know, that is a good. That's good. Way to look out.
I'll give you a minute.
So the guy that sent in these questions is what we're answering right now. That's Stories and Sorceries. You can find them on Twitter on SNS underscore pod. Azeloth is spelled AZULOTH. On Twitter, it's GM underscore Azeloth. And then on YouTube and Twitch, he posts his videos and you can just search the Azeloth and he'll come up. No one else is named Azeloth. He's unique. Great guys, both of them. I love playing with Azeloth and I love having him as a player. And Robbie over at SNS, great guy. It's been a lot of fun playing a pirate with him. But anyways, everyone that I mentioned, I'll put in the episode description too for shout outs, just because it's easier to read than listen sometimes. So.
And some people are listening when they can't write something down.
Right. So yeah, instead of just one, I had three favorites, but I also have played through 100,000 characters and made even more. So kind of hard to pick. Zach, what about you?
It's actually very hard for me to pick. Of course, I love my first character, but that one was broken. My first character was named Drof. And I don't remember what brought it on, but for some reason I named him Drof McMonkey Fist. And he was a deep dwarf that was a mutant. So he was wizard as well. The only dwarf of his kind that could cast magic. So he got cast out.
He homebrewed the shit out of that dwarf. That was a lot of fun though.
But that was one of the earlier editions.
That was back in second edition. That was your first character I ran you through with that.
Yeah.
I think Drof, you were having a hard time thinking of a name. So you just kind of like modified dwarfs. And you made it Drow Dwarf. You just combined it.
Besides that, getting to be a DM, I've created so many different characters that I just ran on sides, which has been hilarious. But one of my favorites has been Skeld, who was the first time I actually played a cleric. And he was a cleric of the God of War. And he's just a basic human. And somehow I kept surviving everything until eventually I became the tank for the group, which is funny to think that a cleric could become a tank.
Well, I mean, cleric of war. Clerics get beefy. Also, that you played Skeld when I was playing Dan during 3.5 too. That was all the same party. That's what was funny about that is that you had the gumption and the character stats to lead the party, but that entire party was actively not about having a leader.
Oh, not at all. I've had trouble going ahead and becoming the leader in any of the campaigns and getting to be a DM. It's funny because I'm trying to set up for recordings on my own, and being a DM for one of my coworkers, he just goes ahead and constantly tries to throw a monkey wrench into my situation. And I'm like, I've been in your place. I know what you're trying to do.
Right. I'm 10 steps ahead of you.
Yep. I told him, I'm like, there's no way you can derail my story. There's no possible way. Try. It's fine.
It's suffer the consequences.
Exactly. I do have consequences set in.
I already know the answer for Jasper. But Jasper, why don't you tell us what your favorite character is?
My favorite character is my very first character I ever made. And his name is Lacarion. And he's a tabaxi monk. And I love him so much. And then he died. So upset for months about it. Tony knows, watching me suffer.
Yeah.
And then...
You were mad.
I was so mad. And then I missed the last part of our in-person game because I was busy doing adult shit. And he brings him back. And then he pauses the game and we can't play until he's done with school. This bitch. I'm so upset. I want to play him so bad. I miss him.
I was disappointed and amused by that because we were playing that night and both you and Zach have been waiting. For like I'd hinted and told you guys I was going to bring back River and the Karin at some point, but I never told you how or when.
Yeah.
Then you guys didn't show up for that last game. I'm like, that's a damn shame.
I was there, but I had to leave after through it.
Yeah. Well, that game went on until like 2 o'clock in the morning too. That combat went on a lot longer than it should have, or just longer than I expected. But
yeah, that was a late night.
Yeah. What was Lacarin's background?
Lacarin was a motherfucking pirate. He did pirate shit all the time. And no one could chase me because I could move 330 feet in one movement. I steal your stuff, I'm gone, never knew what happened. If you did, good luck catching me. I'm already gone.
Broken ass combination of dope monk shit with the tabaxi scared cat fleeing.
Hey, now I'm part Illithid.
Yeah.
That's going to be really fun. Tabaxi monk Illithid.
Through various means of magical shenanigans and tiny-wimey loophole stuff, repercussions, actions, and reactions to you guys' events lead on down the chain like me and Zach were just talking about. And so when you died, I was already devising a way for you guys to come back, which is, during that time, that's what the whole Bloodborne world was tied into, was the in-between world, which is... Listeners, this is all what's going on over in the tundra part, the west coast of Epia. This is all on the same continent. So I got like 10 different things fucking happening at any given time on this continent. It's bananas. It was funny because, yeah, Lacarin came back as part Illithid now. So he got squid face and he looked like Predator, but with tentacles. So like Davy Jones meets Predator.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then I took a break from that game.
Yeah, took a break. Why would I came back and I didn't get to play?
Yeah,
but at least I'm part Illithid because apparently feeding my brain to my pet Illithid I had in a jar was a good idea.
We'll see.
might have been a good idea. But, you know, having a pet Illithid in a jar was kind of fun, though.
I'll tell you guys now, especially since we're recording this, but what had happened was your guys' souls needed bodies. River's body inhabited Thunder's body. And Thunder was an adult because he was aged by ghosts in the city.
Oh.
Okay. So River now inhabits Thunder's body.
Poor Thunder.
Yeah, so that's actually something I had talked with Zach on the side too about, because now Zach has... He's more or less gets to play River like he did before, but it's kind of a duality of the child innocence and curiosity that Thunder had as a child, and the absolute bitterness and ruthlessness that River had as he was having to survive in the Bloodborne world. Jasper, the Karin, the only body that was available was the Illithid baby that you had captured, and it was developing in that jar.
I didn't capture it. He already came in the jar.
What was going on in the background was that Lyrel was working with the Outsider. And so he had hinted that she needed to go into the city and retrieve that jar, but he didn't tell her why. Mm. So she went, did that, and then came back. And then that's when she's like, well, I gotta go down. Bye. And that's when she went down before you guys, down into the Undercity. So she'd been towing that around and scooped up the ball, which she had pried off with her pack weapon, which was the Outsider's knife. And she was able to pop that off with the Outsider's knife. That was the only thing that could do that.
Well, I'm back and I have to wait forever to play. And yep. I'm upset and excited at the same time, and I don't know what to do with those two feelings.
Especially since it'll be like another 11 months, maybe.
I know. I want to punch a tree, but it'll hurt. That's it. I don't have any more. I don't have any more characters. It's the only character I have other than this one.
Do you guys have any favorite characters that's in the podcast? Aside from the characters you're playing?
I really like Tall Hat. The one that sold us all of those weird items, like the gimp suit and the dildo. And
oh, yep. That one's my favorite too. Cool. Perfect.
I especially like Flizenzo.
Flizenzo?
Mm-hmm.
I liked Flinzo a lot. But it was a lot of fun fleshing him out and playing him.
Flinzo sounds like a name for like floss.
Got my handy Flinzo here. Hold on a sec. All right, so we got two more questions, and it's actually from Robbie's DM for Stories and Sorceries podcast on Twitter. He goes by Adrian, something like that. I'll post it in the notes. You can try to decipher it for yourself. His first question was, what was your first TPK experience, or have you ever had one? I'm guessing that's a general question for everybody.
I think I've only ever had one TPK. And it was Ravenloft.
Oh, shocker.
Yeah. I've had some really close calls where only one person barely got away with everybody else's remains for resurrections. I think that was the only real TPK.
I'm trying to think of a TPK. I don't think... technically, I was responsible for a TPK, but I still survived. I was playing a sentient penguin that got a little out of hand and nobody stopped me, so I ended up killing everybody and ate them.
They should have known better.
Yeah, well, when your penguin has the name Sephiroth, you should expect bad things.
Sephiroth.
Yeah.
I don't know what TPK stands for, so I can't answer.
Total party kill. Yeah.
That's where
we've all died one after another, like technically in game months.
Yeah, you guys
have all been replaced. Yeah, that's about it.
You haven't been a part of a full wipe yet. Yeah, even that final battle where that you and Zach missed, there wasn't a TPK. We had Nefarious turn into a vegetable on one of the Friday night, not a literal vegetable. Her intelligence was reduced to one or zero.
Oh, I thought she turned into like a pumpkin or something. I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
No. Then a half orc vegetable.
One other character was turned to dust from a disintegration ray, but otherwise everyone else, it was escaped. How about you, Zach? Have you been part of a TPK?
I've DM'd TPKs.
Oh, was it at in Rifts?
Yeah, I've done that once. That was a fun time, setting up Apocalypse on multiple worlds.
Rifts is something else.
I wouldn't mind doing a recording of a Rifts adventure. That'd be a pretty good one.
A lot of fun doing the Rifts with Nicole, her Psystalker Ash.
Yeah, I like Ash.
I haven't played a Rift yet.
It's involved.
Rifts is a whole nother fucking can of worms.
It is, but it's fun.
It is fun. It's very large sandbox. You'll never be so big that nothing can't kill you. There's always something. There's always a bigger fish. Mm. And there
or a bigger penguin.
Or a bigger penguin. Just don't go down to South America and you won't encounter Sephiroth. You'll be fine. Mm. Or well, Mexico.
I'm down to do it if someone DMs, but just about it.
There's a lot of skills and various rules that you have to not only learn, but they also contradict each other.
Oh, never mind. I won't play them. My reading disability keeps me from understanding things, apparently. So I've been playing magic users wrong the entire time until, 2 months ago you told me I realized I was doing it wrong?
Well, that's just a part of learning rules of games. I would hold your hand in Rifts as much as possible. I would shield you from the brunt of it.
I just have you play a meat tank.
Yeah, it's
yeah, or a pre-generated character.
Hmm.
That's what Lucarion was, regenerated. I just rolled the stats.
That's true. Lucarion, you didn't, or Lucarion didn't get, you didn't get to roll the stats. You rolled Bean stats.
I thought I rolled Lucarion stats too. I guess not. I mean, his stats are still really good, so I just assumed I did it.
No, that was all the pre-generated characters I rolled the stats for, and then I gave you each a boon.
Gotcha.
And that was the perk for taking a pre-generated character, because a lot of the characters I rolled stats for, for whatever reason, the pre-generated character stats were all fucking garbage. A lot of stats like around 5 to 8. Horrific stats. Except for you and Netheri.
I was going to say my lowest stat is a 12.
Yeah.
Well, you also bumped Netheri's charisma up to 10 with that boon. Otherwise, it would have been 5?
Yeah. Which the boon was almost useless in a theory because she doesn't need to be charismatic.
No, but she does need to maybe not send people running and screaming in the opposite direction as soon as they see her when she's not meaning to attack them.
Doesn't she try to do that though and make them flee from her?
No, she just doesn't want a lot of interaction.
Don't talk
to her. She glares a lot.
Solitary creature.
Last question was also from the DM of Stories and Sorceries. It's a question again for all of us, and it is, what is your favorite module? For me, I've only played one. All the rest of my time role-playing has been homebrewed worlds. So that one module that I played was Ravenloft. But I don't even say I played it, because I homebrewed the fucking piss out of it. Shia LaBeouf ate Strahd, and then Shia LaBeouf turned into the pseudo Strahd for the world, and they had to deal with actual cannibal Shia LaBeouf the whole time instead of Strahd. I changed a lot of that module.
I have never actually played a module. I've only ever played homebrew created worlds. I am currently DMing a module for first level characters that was a free module that I found on Reddit. If anybody is interested on where to get them, we can link it in the video, or the recording description.
For sure. Do you remember the name of it?
The name of the module itself is The Unquiet Dead. And the person who puts out these modules has one for, he has a few free ones, but they range in levels from 1 up to epic.
It's so far it's been a lot of fun. Yeah, Jasper, that's the one that we're playing in where your tiefling thinks it's a gnome.
Yes, my tiefling that is a gnome thinks it's a gnome. Okay, cool. I was going to say, I don't think I played any, but I have played one then.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're currently in one.
Currently, yeah, we're still playing it. I love it. My tiefling is a gnome and it's great. Or thinks he's a gnome. He thinks everything's super tall.
Goliath, that is a summoner with dumb stat of intelligence. I'm really enjoying that. Especially since I don't need a high intelligence to be a really good summoner. Like, haha, loophole, I cast fist.
It helps with my depth perception that you think I'm a gnome because you're already way taller than I am. So it helps me. It ingrains the I'm a gnome.
Yep. Everyone's as tall as he is.
Yep.
It also helps that the other party member, Jake, is also a Goliath. So, like, look, even more.
Yeah, see, I'm short. I told you.
How about you, Zach? Have you played the module?
Only the one that you guys are all in. The one that Nicole's done.
Oh, yeah. You just missed last game, didn't you?
Yeah.
What was it you're playing in that one?
Druid Aragonasi.
That's right. That's right.
Right.
Who just hates everything.
Yeah.
We missed a lot in the last game.
Every bit of this adventure so far, he's just shaking his head.
Yeah. Well, since you left, we were left to our own devices. And so the Goliath and the the tiefling gnome were trying to deal with the dead without actually dealing with the dead. So we're tying doors to doors and
it was a great idea.
We're trying to bypass traps that didn't actually exist.
One intelligence and somebody who believes that they're a whole nother race. It fits.
Yes.
They're doing great.
Well, I mean, the doors open away from each other. So when you tie them to each other, you can't open the door.
It was a sound plan. All right.
It was great. It worked.
Even though Nicole told us outright as a DM that we don't have to worry about this. We're like, no, it's still...
It's already in motion. It's happening.
It's too late. We made the idea. We've already done it.
Too deep. It's happening. It was fun, though.
It was a good time.
I was waiting for you to like turn around and then trip on it at some point after the combat.
I was expecting that, too. I was thinking, like, well, fuck, if I move, I might like run into the rope and then realize that it wasn't very well tied, because we rolled bad for tying.
Oh, yeah. My tying skills probably didn't work well.
If anything would have relied on that, that door is not, it would have failed.
Yeah. That's all the questions that I have. Do you guys have any questions for each other or questions for me?
What is the meaning of life?
42.
Excellent. Thank you.
Densby Dragon gonna hate me now forever?
So, Ezric, the Black Tea Dragon.
Ezric.
I mean, probably.
I'm mad at freaking Bandy's dragon because he killed one of my ducks.
Well, Blitzwing, all right, is a hunter now.
Yeah, and it's Dandy's fault.
Well, I'm not pointing fingers, but you're not wrong.
I'm the only one that doesn't have trauma that I know about.
Yeah, I'm glad you know about.
Exactly. It has an attachment to me and ducks. I'm surprised it wasn't trying to protect the duck I made.
Well, no, because Blitzwing is its brother.
Well, it should tell its brother to go away.
Blitzwing should totally have a charisma challenge to see if it can convince your dragon. Yeah. Convince Fireclaw to go ahead and take a bite of a duck.
They should have their own like little segment in an episode where they're just all talking and be like, these people suck. What's happening? I feel like that'd be fun.
You can do a one shot like that sometime. Now that you each have your own dragon.
Yeah.
You guys go and adventure off in the middle of the night while everyone's sleeping.
We got to run into the white tea dragon. Oh my gosh, what's his name?
Electus.
Yep, there we go.
Who now belongs to Flazenzo.
Yes. That's where Flazenzo will show back up. Be like, why are you guys here by yourselves?
Well, if we did a one-shot with the tea dragons, I would probably do an episode where it explains why you guys were in a bag of safe places.
Oh, that would be fun. Or sad, depending on the answer.
Yeah, that concludes our questions and answers. We got a little bit more time, so we'll spend this time getting into the meat of fixes and making sure our characters are all up to date. What level are you guys right now?
Four.
Level four.
Your guys' experience points are all set to the same?
Yes.
We're all 2,900, right?
Correct.
Yeah. And then I'd given you, had you add a spell or two a while back, but you still can't cast them yet, right? It is from Lorelock spells. The creator Lorelock in real life.
No, I don't have any spells written down.
Okay. I think I was going to have you use a spell that they made. It was called Toast, but I think it's a third level spell. I think you're telling me that you couldn't find it. That's because it doesn't show up on your list yet.
Yeah, we talked about doing that one.
Yeah. So I guess I'll have to wait. Stupid.
Do you magically just make toast?
The spell is, it's pretty neat, but it's called Toast or Roast. There's a reverse of it. And it gives benefits or negatives. And it's basically a toast, like raising your glass to somebody.
Oh, you should change it and just be the Uno card reverse. Sorry. I've seen a lot of that lately.
Writing my notes here. Add spell. The book, Nicole, that you got, that Dinsby got for from Tim for successfully answering his riddles. You guys didn't even have to make any checks. You guys figured out all the riddles. Good on you.
The first two are pretty easy. The last one, I was lost.
Yeah.
Well, you say easy, but I really had no faith in you guys because every time I've ever introduced a riddle to any party that I've DM'd, they could not for the life of them figure it out.
I'm pretty good at riddles.
It's always turned out to be like that meme where the DM looks up riddlers for toddlers and the party has no idea what you're talking about. It's been like that every time I've pulled up riddles for you guys. Not you, just me, my players in general.
It's been a while, but I think, or obviously it's been a while, but in middle school, we used to have riddle competitions. So.
Oh, okay. So you're on it.
Yeah, because I went to Writing School of the Arts and we did all these random artistic things. Apparently riddle competitions was part of that. So that was fun. It got mean and then the school banned it because they're like, you have to solve a riddle, so come swing on the swing. And I'm like, what is this? Bullying sidestepped?
This is bullying, but with more steps.
Yeah, exactly.
I made listeners, one of the things that I use a lot, and I do add it in my show notes, episode show notes. It's called 5e Magic Shop. 5emagic.shop. They run a Patreon. If you go and you become a patron of them on their Patreon, they have this neat website where you could do random generators for a magic shop or random loot. You can also make spell books and a bunch of other stuff. So I made this spell book on 5emagic.shop, which will also be in the show notes. And give the book title and like the languages and whether or not to be translated and all that jazz. The guy that makes it also made links to D&D Beyond for each of the spells. Really super handy. So anyways, Nicole, that book is yours. And I added it in the chat there. So you can just click on the URL link and it should pop up.
Yep, I got it.
Tim had a whole bunch of spells. Whole piss done. So that'll be handy. The other thing that I needed to change, one of the spells that you had gotten was from Tim, it was in the spell book, was called Summon Summoner. And unfortunately, it's set at third level, and I'm too lazy to go in and change it. So until you get to third level, it'll just have to wait. But when you next level up, you'll be able to cast it. That spell I actually made from another Twitter account, and he was, I can't remember, I'd have to look it up. What his Twitter name is. He was regularly posting shit ideas for spells and items. And so the one he came up with was a spell that just summoned a summoner. And so I thought that was brilliant. So I ended up making that as a homebrew spell on 5e D&D Beyond. So that's what we're, that's what that is. So once you hit, once you hit the appropriate level, which is next level, right? Is it fifth level?
Yeah, fifth level, I'll be able to cast third level spells.
So you'll be able to have that accessible. Your third spell that you got from a pawn, so I didn't have one of them ready for you. It's a second level spell called Dragon's Breath. And I thought I had that ready and I didn't. So it's available now. So you can add Dragon's Breath to your spell inventory along with Rope Trick, which you got from him. Third one was a third level spell. And for some reason, I thought you could cast third level spells. But what I was actually thinking was that you're third level currently. So I was like, oh yeah, they can cast this. And I was just being dumb. Now I have to look up another spell for you to cast. And base spells are just, you know, they're boring. So I'm trying to find a homebrew spell. Something good. Sure, there's a lot.
I believe in you.
Yeah, well, thank you. Sure, there's a lot in Reddit. Listeners, if you go to Unearthed Arcana, the subreddit Unearthed Arcana, and on Reddit, holy shit, there is a lot of great content on there. If you're a DM or a player that wants to beg their DM to let you use a thing, go on there and check out what's on there. A lot of the homebrew items that I find are on there. And then I just, you know, I go down various rabbit holes to find out who actually made it. There's a lot of great content on Unearthed Arcana. And Zach and Jasper, was there anything that I had mentioned that I had fucked up with you guys and I needed to change later? Or anything that you feel like needs to be changed or addressed?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Yeah, not that I'm aware of either.
Okay.
Have you figured out what's in Dandy's new bag?
I have not. That's what it was. That's okay. Thank you.
I was gonna say, I don't have anything cool besides my deck of many things.
Yeah, you're
and my sword of duck creation. There's nothing wrong with my things I have yet.
There's so much wrong.
That is your opinion, and you can keep it over there.
I'm going to start putting your ducks in the bag safe places.
I'm going to wake up and be like, how dare I put my hand there. It's going to be your fault. I'm going to look for my duck. Give me my duck back.
Yeah. Well, you're going to be reaching in the bag and be like, duck, 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 goose. And then you're going to get attacked.
No, the goose will be my friend. I have a normal animal handling roll I can make.
You guys have done so well with the previous goose.
I didn't get to interact with it. It was already attacking. But technically, we ran away from it, and Cervic killed it.
It wasn't Cervic.
Or something, I don't know. I know we changed it from what it originally was.
Severic,
there we go.
The way we were saying it sounded too much like cervix.
Yeah. Severic murdered the crap out of that duck. Or goose, sorry.
Although it's fun to think of a cervix murdering something.
Strangling it.
By the way, listeners, we got the Sword of Summoning Ducks from Matthew J. Willis. I'll post the link to his stuff in the description notes, but I see a lot of like web comics that he does on Twitter and Facebook all the time. He posts a lot of items on there that are super goofy too. So I went and searched for this Sword of Summoning Ducks. I thought it was entertaining.
You gave it to the perfect person.
Well, I didn't give you anything. You decided to pull it from the bag.
I rolled for it. I got something cool.
I was just anyone would have it.
I wonder if there's any more tea dragons.
Going on until you reach in there.
I know.
So I got another question for you guys. For one, so do you remember what's in the bag?
Yes.
What else is in the bag?
Yeah. And that zombie thing we put back in the bag.
Yeah, there's a zombie that we stuffed back in.
Okay. We don't know what originally was in it.
That was the only other thing that you haven't put anything else back in yet.
Yeah, we haven't put anything in it.
So there's a zombie still in the bag, so that's that gamble that you got to deal with if you want to.
We weren't prepared to handle a zombie, so we just put it back.
What? Well, you first pulled out a tiny demon that attacked you guys, then the zombie.
The demon ran away, though. It's fine. It's probably creating havoc somewhere else.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, that's...
It's somebody in the Underdark. I don't care.
It's someone else's problem. I mean, if it comes back and is grateful that we set it free, you know, that's cool, too.
More accurately, that's Azalos' character's problem, the drow.
Oh, right. have fun.
Sorry. I had a question for you guys. I was wondering what the hell happened to this item that I gave you, because nobody said a goddamn word about it. And I don't remember if you guys just absentmindedly said that you traded it in or not. But the pack of magic crowns, who has that?
That's a thing somebody has?
Magic crowns?
I've never heard you mention that at all.
You got it from the goblins.
Andy went ahead and never got anything from all the goblins except for death.
Right, I was going to say you were dead, so...
Yeah, that's not what I got from the goblins.
Okay. I have listened to the episodes, so I know that it was mentioned. So somebody didn't write it down. So you guys have a pack of magic crowns.
I probably would have taken it to put it with all my other stuff.
Who did they give them to?
I've listened recently, so I don't remember. We could just say any one of you has it. I doubt you guys would have hidden it from each other. So if you want to look up to see what it does, there's a variety of things because each crown does something different.
I probably would have taken it. But yeah, I'll look it up first. Yeah.
You're saying crayon like Crayola, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not crown.
Not a crown that you put on your head, although you can put these crayons on your head if you want.
Was it a pack of crowns?
Pack of magical crayons.
This guy found it.
I did. See it. There we go. Crayons. Do not eat. First thing I see.
Except it immediately says that to activate any of them, you need to bite them.
Just bite, not eat. Don't consume.
Yeah, just a bite.
Just a nibble.
Just a nibble.
Like a child trying to debate if this is edible or not.
Just a taste. Why don't you guys read it out loud so our listeners can hear?
So maybe they can find it.
I'm a terrible reader. Somebody do it.
Any of you, I'm researching spells.
A box containing a dozen magical crayons emblazoned on the side in bold letters, it reads, "Do not eat." Consumption of crayons is linked to genetic instability and temporal misplacement. The holder of the box may reach in and withdraw a crayon. The DM may choose from the table below or roll 1d12. A player may consume a crayon to gain the following effects. And then I'll just read it in the order it has here. Black. Taking a bite out of this crayon grants dark vision for 1 day, as well as the ability to cast darkness as a bonus action. White. You may bite the tip off this crayon and use it as a torch for up to 1 day. It generates bright light in a 30-foot radius and dim light for another 60 feet. If the back is bitten off of it, the crayon will explode after 20 seconds, forcing a DC 14 dex saving throw and deals 2d12 radiant damage on a success. And blind anyone within 15 feet for 1 minute. Deal half as much on a successful save. That's a ridiculous crayon. Green. Colin's saving throw 14. On success, you gain a venomous aura for 1 day, adding 1 weapon die and poison damage to each weapon attack. On failure, take 1d6 poison damage for 10 rounds or 30 poison damage over an hour. Red. Constitution saving throw of 14. On success, you become enraged, gaining advantage on strength checks for 10 rounds or 1 hour. On failure, you gain 1 level of exhaustion. Blue. Biting off this crayon's tip will yield a trickle of water which can keep an adventurer alive for a few days. Biting off its rear will release a spurt of water, forcing a DC 13 strength saving throw by the target, or else dealing 1d6 water damage and pushing them away 15 feet. Orange. Wisdom saving throw. On success, gain an inspiration point. On failure, roll with disadvantage on all checks until the end of your next turn. Yellow, another wisdom saving throw. On success, you gain immunity from fear and advantage on intimidation checks for 10 rounds or 1 hour. On failure, you become terrified of your surroundings and will flee in a random direction. Purple, taking a bite out of this crayon grants use of the Mage Hand cantrip for 1 day. Pink, taking a bite out of this crayon grants the ability to cast message without using a spell slot for 1 day. Cyan, a creature may take a bite out of this crayon to gain the effect of Goodberry. The crayon deals has 1d6 charges. Gold, this crayon is made of solid gold. Don't eat it, sell it. Silver, intelligence saving throw. On a success, grants true sight for 1 day. On failure, lose all sight for 1 hour. That's all 12 of them.
That's neat.
Yeah, so that's why I was wondering why you guys, like I had posted on Twitter that you guys had it and I was hoping you wouldn't forget it, but apparently no one wrote it down to begin with. We just glossed over it or missed it. So yeah, that's the thing that's been in your guys' pack. Who has it?
I want to say Zen would have it, but I'm not sure.
I mean, Andy will have it on his hip if that's what he needs to do.
Well, if nobody wants it, Zen will take it because it's added to her collectible things.
Zen's like a large child. I'm fine with her having a pack of magical crayons.
Yeah, Dandy's fine with that. You can be the wild magic user and have all the crazy creatures.
Pokemon!
I have a Pokemon. His name is Crayon. He does many things.
Take out the whole box and just eat all the tips at once.
Oh gosh, don't give him ideas.
I feel like that would give me some really interesting indigestion.
Bitch, you won't know balls.
Magic table.
Well, the question is, because it didn't specify, if you bite it once, do you reuse it or is it used?
Wait.
A lot of them are just bite the tip off.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you have like the whole crayon still.
Yeah, so you can take multiple bites.
Ah.
So what I would do is say like each crown has 4 uses. Besides like the white one, it turns into a torch.
Cool. So, like, I will put that in the notes on it so I know later.
Yeah. And Nicole, I just found a spell that I was going to give to you. And then you guys are talking and I keep reading. Forgot all about it. I saved it. And I don't know. Ah, there it is. Nicole, I add to my homebrew, so you can add this to your spell list. The first level spell called Chrono Trigger.
Chrono Trigger. Okay. That's an anime.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. The casting time is the bonus action. And it says you save a delayed copy of a cantrip you cast this turn. You may cast that cantrip again as a free action on your next turn. If you cast a cantrip as a standard action on that turn, and then do bonus action, cast Chrono Trigger. On your next turn, you can do whatever you want, but as a free action, cast that same cantrip again.
Oh, I see. Oh, cool. And I just learned it. Thank you. Yep.
And that was the third spell that upon bestowed upon you.
Okay.
Pon, 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 pon.
Ping pong.
And yeah. Concluding this, listeners, if you've listened all the way through this, thank you so much. This was fun. Bullshitting, you know, at the table kind of talk. We chose to do this instead of record episode 15 because in real life, I've been super busy. I just recently bought a business and I'm going to be the new business owner of Reading VR in Reading, California. Yes, this is a shameless plug. If you are in Northern California and in the Reading area, come to my shop and play some video games. We got VR games. We got old school consoles like PS1 and the GameCube and PS4. And we got old school Nintendo. We got all kinds of stuff. We even have a cabinet that plays TMNT and a whole bunch of old arcade games. It's great. But come check us out. ReadingVR.com. We do have a website. You can sign up for appointments. But the shop's name is Reading VR. Redding, California. Come check us out. Listen to our podcast, All Flex No Dex. We are on as whatever podcast listening platform you can think of. We're likely on that. I found our podcast on a couple that I didn't even know existed, and we're just there. Our stuff just gets added places. I try to find them so I can claim them, but you know, the internet's vast and massive. But we're all on all the major ones: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Podchaser, you name it, we're likely on it. Thanks for listening, guys. Everyone say bye.
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 Bye.